I'm Virginia Lang, and I'm here with
Tim Martins.
And today is February 11th, 2019, and we are recording from Memphis, Tennessee. So I'm going to start off asking about your childhood and then move on to some other areas of your life. Can you tell me a bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child? Maybe some hobbies, your family members, schools?
Yeah, I come from a big family. I'm the fifth of eight children. My father was a Lutheran minister, as were both of my grandfathers. So we come from a long line of old German Lutherans. My parents were missionaries in China in the 40s, and then they were kicked out of China when the communist government took over in 1949. So my two oldest sisters, who were twins, were born in China, but then they left when they were 3 months old, and then from there my parents went to the Philippines for a short time on the way home, and then moved to St. Louis and lived there a few years, and then Dad took a job as a pastor in Johnson City, Tennessee, and that's where my older brother and I were born. Another older sister who was born in St. Louis while they were there, and then my older brother and I, and my younger sister, who's 2 years younger than me, was also born in Johnson City. And then from there, they moved to Memphis when I was almost 3 years old. So Memphis is what I know, and that's home.
What were some hobbies that you had?
Hobbies. Ooh.
Did you play any sports or any clubs?
We always played sports. I didn't really play organized sports that much, except through church. I didn't play in school until I was a sophomore in high school. It was the first time I played school sports, other than just like at recess. We just played sports after school pretty much every day. When I was about nine, we moved from one house to another in Memphis, and there was a lake right across the street from our new house. So we would go, we had friends who lived across the street whose house backed up to the lake. And so we would go hang out over there a lot, and in warm weather we would swim and fish in the lake, or, you know, pretty much every day after school we just played, you know, baseball or basketball or football, some kind of neighborhood sports, bike riding, just different things.
Are there any funny stories people tell about you from when you were growing up? Your parents, maybe siblings?
They say I used to bite the other kids when I was little, which I don't remember it, so I can honestly deny that, but my parents say that that's true. Then the way they cured me of that is one day my mother just bit me back, and
guess that worked.
So that brought an end to that.
What jobs did you have when you were a teenager?
Mowed a lot of grass for different neighbors. Just went around and did that for some of them. There was a man who, I'm not sure how we got in touch with him originally, but he was a professor at the University of Memphis, or Memphis State back then, taught in the engineering department, and he lived about a mile from us, and he just liked to build things on his yard. He had a fairly large yard and some acreage and things. His specialty was concrete. He was an expert in concrete. So he loved to build things out of concrete. So somehow my brother got hooked up with him, and then I kind of fell into helping him on Saturdays. He would have us come over and work, you know, half a day or all day, mostly mixing concrete and pouring it. And he would just had all these various projects. I don't know if he was experimenting or what. Mr. Hopper was his name, Charles Hopper. I always remember him. That was a kind of a fun thing. You know, it's good exercise. And my dad was never into like handiwork or building things and stuff. He was more, you know, involved with ministry and things. So, you know, that was a good experience for both of us to get out and learn to do those kind of trades. And I think it kind of had a profound influence on both of us. My brother became an architect eventually. I don't know if that was where that initial idea came from for him, but And then I've always worked, you know, just worked with my hands and in kind of in the building trades and so.
So Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote, "I am a part of all that I have met." Can you tell me about one or two people that have been the biggest influences on your life?
Well, one was I assume you're talking besides my parents or family.
Well, it can be including family.
You know, family, of course, and you know, and like I said, we're a big family with a hectic household, and my dad was very committed to his work, so he was not home a lot. He, you know, would come home, you know, work all day, come home for supper, and then go back out again and visit people in the hospital and stuff. And then my mother, the time I was about 9 until, you know, as an adult, all of us were adults, she worked 3 nights a week as a nurse at Le Bonheur Hospital. So she would sleep during the day while we were at school, get up, fix supper for us, you know, pick us up from school, fix supper, and then go back to sleep until about 10, and she would work all night. She worked from 11 at night to 7 in the morning, 3 nights a week for years and years. And so that, you know, I'm sure that was a very profound influence on all of us, that, you know, we all had to pitch in and help my older siblings, help take care of the younger ones, and we all just pitched in and, you know, we all had to learn to do all the household chores, and everybody helped doing yard work and mowing grass, and, you know, of course the boys did more of that, you know, outdoor heavy stuff than the girls, but they all pitched in as well, and to this day my youngest sister loves to mow grass.
You know, so that's funny.
Yeah. And as far as other influences, I guess one of the biggest ones was a professor I had at Memphis State, who was an anthropologist. He was originally from Greece. His name was Augustus Sordinas, and he was just such an interesting guy. He emigrated here from and went to school at Harvard and graduated at his doctorate from there. I'm not sure how he ended up in Memphis, but he was the reason I ended up in majoring in anthropology is because he was such an interesting person to study under. He was just you know, very knowledgeable about his field as well as a million other things, and just one of these kind of Renaissance people you just like to hang out with, and it's just an education just to follow him around all day, you know.
Are there any specific positive moments or memories in your life that have shaped who you are today? Or any negative memories or events?
A lot of both, I'm sure. As far as one, it's kind of a combination of both, I guess, is, you know, I mentioned that I've always worked with my hands and stuff. After high school, I did not go to college right away. I took a couple years off and worked in a service station. You know, this was back in the day when you still had to go pump gas for people. It was before self-service, before anybody had thought of that. And so I learned some mechanical trades from that. And, you know, if I had gone straight into college from high school, I probably would have failed out and, you know, hated it, you know, and not gone on. But as it turned out, I did that for 2 years and then changed jobs and started to college, you know, after in June of like after 2 years after I graduated from high school, and just loved college, you know. Had to work my way through. This was back in the day when you could go to college and work part-time and you know, pay for your college as you went, and didn't have to take out a lot of loans and things. My parents allowed us to live at home as long as we were going to school. They, you know, said we could stay there and didn't have to pay rent or anything, so that was a big help that way. So like the point I guess I was trying to get to is that working like that, at first it was very nice not to be in school and not even think about school and stuff, but after a time I realized, hey, this is not much of a future in doing this, you know, what I was doing. So, you know, that's how I ended up going back to college. Did didn't really know what I wanted to do when I first started, but I just knew that you know, it was important to go and get some education and do something. So, like I said, that was kind of a positive, you know, negative and a positive experience mm-hmm. at the same time. I guess the other big thing that was, you know, tremendous influence on me was after I graduated from college, I wasn't real sure what I wanted to do still, but I, you know, decided to go into the Peace Corps. One of my fellow students had joined about a year before I did, and just in talking to her about that, she kind of planted that seed in my mind. Plus, my parents, having been missionaries, you know, always encouraged all of us kids, to ever, if we ever got the opportunity to go overseas, to go do it, because they were, you know, profoundly influenced by their time in China, you know, and their original plan was, you know, to stay there, you know. For my dad, you know, anticipated doing his entire career there, but the, you know, minor historic events like the Communist Revolution kind of got in the way of that, so he had to change his tune. But, you know, like I say, they encouraged all of us to go. My mother, too, I should mention, she had gone to nursing school and then went into the Army and was in World War II. She got sent to the Pacific and was in on a little island called Tinian, which is where the planes took off from to drop the atomic bombs on Japan. So she knew all those pilots, the folks who were involved in that, and, you know, had been involved with the healthcare there. And then after the war was over, she was sent actually to Japan to help rebuild some hospitals and things there that the Army was involved in. So, you know, they both had a good bit of overseas experience that way, and that was, like I said, they encouraged us to do that. So I ended up going into the Peace Corps, which, as I found out later, a lot of missionaries' kids end up in Peace Corps because they want that overseas experience, but they don't quite have the calling to go into the ministry, you know, and that's kind of the category I fell into.
Yeah, that's so I ended up, interesting.
Yeah, you know, I spent, you know, 3 years in Senegal in West Africa with the Peace Corps. And one of our trainers, when I went into there, told us, you know, you're going to have some of the best days and some of the worst days of your life while you're here. And as it turns out, you know, that's the way it was. But on returning from that, I found that you kind of gradually forget about the worst days and remember all the really good days and the great people that I met there out in the rural Africa, you know.
So, of the people you've lost in your life, who do you miss the most? And what is it about them that you miss?
Well, my dad, for sure. He died 25 years ago. Actually, while Lindley and I were on our honeymoon, he had been sick, you know, for a number of years, and after he retired from the ministry, Mom retired from nursing shortly after that, and she spent the last several years, you know, of his life just taking care of him pretty much. And he just had multiple health problems, a lot of it resulting from his time in China, you know, things that he had contracted there, and did a number on him physically. But he died at 80, so he had a good long life. Down to this day, I still think about various things he talked about and taught us that, you know, at the time he was alive, I didn't appreciate as much as I do now. And still just hearing, you know, stories about him from talking to my mom and stuff, it's, you know, I wish I had spent more time, you know, just hanging out with him and hearing his take on a lot of things.
How has your life been different than how you imagined it when you were younger?
I never expected to be married and have kids. I didn't marry till I was almost 40, you know, and had kind of fallen into this bachelor routine. And always, you know, some of my siblings married. One of them, you know, one of my older sisters married when she was like 20, you know, and got married young and had kids and all. And then my youngest sister, who was, you know, the baby of our family, married and started having kids before I did. She's 7 years younger than I am. So I always just pictured myself as being like a very good uncle, you know. And, you know, before I did get married, I would go, like, visit my youngest sister and hang out with her kids and have a lot of fond memories. I think the kids and I, you know, her kids and I both have, you know, a lot of good memories of that. And we talk about that when we get together. But, yeah, that was, I think, would be the biggest thing. Just somehow I met Lindley and kind of changed my tune about all that. And ended up being a husband and father. And so that was pretty profound difference from what I had anticipated.
How have your political views changed over time? And are there any specific things that have made them change?
I think I've become more middle of the road over time, just from getting older. I was much more of a, you know, child of the 60s, hippie radical, leftist growing up. You know, but just with time and experience, I've come to understand the other side of things better and become more tolerant of people's views I don't agree with. And I gotta tell one, talk about politics, I gotta tell one story. You know, during my time in Senegal, I was talking to the chief of the village I lived in, who was, had been, you know, there's an inherited position for him. His father was chief, and his father before him, and so it's, but at that time, Senegal had only been independent. You know, it had been a colony of France. And it had only been independent for about 20 years when I got there. So that was fairly new. It's like, you know, our country was in 1796. It was, you know, a new, young, self-governing country. And I, so one day I got to, the chief and I were just hanging out talking about things. I asked him, well, what's, you know, life, and things, political things, like, what were they like under colonial days, and how were they different now? Is it better or worse, and all that? And he thought a minute, and he said, well, you know, under colonial times, we had law, and today all we have is politics. And so that answer has always stuck with me, and I can see a lot of that in our own country nowadays. You know, not so much difference between colonial and now, but just, you know, how that distinction between law and politics and how that gets played out a lot of times. And, you know, I just thought that was such a cool answer for him, just very succinct about, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for answering my questions and being
sure.
a part of this.
You're welcome. I hope it was helpful to
Definitely.
You.
Definitely. Thank you. Yes, okay, I got it.